Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Hey, what about that action, boss?
Take him out! This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
All right, good morning, everybody out there. And, oh, baby, it's been a fun show. 2 hours down, man. 2 hours flew by. That's what happens during football and basketball season. Giants, did they win last night, Shasky? You're dipped in Giants gear today.
They were down 7-6 in the top of the ninth, and David VR got on base. It wasn't Austin Wentz. It was David VR came through with the hit while I was half asleep. And then Tyro Estrada came through in extra innings.
That's awesome. By the way, good morning to everybody on YouTube, Twitter. Bonte, you're canceled today if you do the Waddle dance and post it on TikTok. I just signed up TikTok. I'm sorry. I didn't know it was that personal.
You TikToking?
I have an account. I don't know how to use it. I feel like the old guy using Instagram.
Let's make a video today, you and me, right after
doing
the show.
The Waddle dance?
Yeah, let's both do the Waddle dance.
Well, you'll get canceled today, according to the 818. On the Comcast Business Text
How
line.
About I do the bird then?
I got
dust yourself off like you just stole third.
Just a lot of angry tweets and texts towards us. I just don't get it.
Well, people are in their feelings. Angry. Myself included.
Good morning, everybody on YouTube, Twitch, Comcast Business Text line. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, good morning to you. Good morning, everybody out there getting to work and getting off your graveyard shifts. We got a Twitter poll up right now, 95.7 a game, at Morning Roast 95.7.
What is the poll?
Kyle's approval rating is at an all-time low. It's on the poll. He's underwater now. Apparently, he's underwater. So what was the poll that Lubman posted? The actual poll. What is your approval rating of Kyle Shanahan right now? Strongly approve, approve, disapprove, strongly disapprove. I actually accidentally pressed strongly approve. I meant to put disapprove right now because that's where I'm at with Shanahan. That's where I'm at with him. I'm not the biggest fan of Kyle Shanahan right now. Do I want him fired? No. That's blasphemous. Anybody who wants him fired, just stop. He's not going anywhere. I don't want Shanahan fired. I don't think he deserves to be fired. But he deserves criticism with the way he's handled the quarterback position during his tenure as a 49ers head coach. The most important position in all of North American sport. Shanahan has not handled it well. And I think that's a fair criticism, Shasky. It's a very fair criticism.
You know, it's very interesting. Very few times in sports is it as clear-cut as Andy Reid identifies Patrick Mahomes, moves up in the draft, selects him, moves off of Alex Smith, winning quarterback.
What about Donovan McNabb?
He did that too.
What about Michael Vick?
He did that too. But Bonte, I'm saying that's very rare. Like, even, okay, for example, for as great as Joe Montana was and for as amazing at scouting talent as Bill Walsh was, he brought in Joe Montana. If he thought Joe was going to be that dude, they didn't have a first-round pick that year. They'd have taken him in the second round. I believe they took a running back in 1979 in the second round. They took Joe Montana in the third round, okay? Nobody thought Joe would end up being Joe. Now, he developed him into a guy that maybe eventually would be that. Then he wins wins the one Super Bowl, and then is ready to trade it all for John Elway. Now, he doesn't do it, and who knows? Maybe it works out different if he goes against John Elway. Right. But, like, he didn't do it. Look, Tom Brady, we've talked about this ad nauseum. If they thought Tom Brady was going to be the Tom Brady, they wouldn't have had Drew Bledsoe, and they wouldn't have passed on Brady 1,000 times. Right? This happens all the time where you kind of back into certain things. But you get credit for making the most of it. So right now, Jimmy Garoppolo being here who cares how he got here? They got to figure it out, and they got to move forward, and they got to help this team beat Denver.
Here's what Steve Young had to say. Actually, let's start with RG3 and Steve Young. You heard a little about Adam Schefter in his clip. But on Monday Night Football Countdown, I thought this was very interesting, the conversation they were having about Shanahan, Trey Lance, and, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo.
You mentioned all the growth that Trey Lance still has to go through to get to where he wants to be. Jimmy Garoppolo is there.
Yes.
Is where, though?
Yeah, but he's not.
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo got fired from this job.
Exactly.
Kyle Shanahan had all the time in the world to be with Jimmy Garoppolo. He said, you know what? I'm firing you.
He got fired from the job because they spent so much draft capital drafting a guy number three. He didn't get fired from the job because the guy behind him was a better quarterback.
But, Bullock, they got all those draft picks and went to go get Trey Lance because they were trying to make that transition like an Alex Smith to a Patrick Mahomes. The reason that they wanted Trey Lance to be in this position was because they have a great defense. They know they're going to have a really good running game, and they have weapons on the perimeter. Him learning on the job was going to be easier for him this year in their championship window. Jimmy Garoppolo just went out there and looked like Jimmy Garoppolo. They know they're going to have to win it for him.
We could argue about the last part, but just listening to RG3 and Steve Young talk, I could listen to them talk about football all day long, and it felt like Booger didn't understand that, like, no, when you made the trade to go up to go get someone,
you basically said we're out on Jimmy Garoppolo.
Exactly, and Steve totally recognized that. I mean, part of why Steve was in a 49er uniform is because Bill was ready to fire Joe Montana. Right. He didn't know if he was going to come back from the back surgeries and the elbow surgeries and all the different injuries that he had. When we saw him in a hospital tent and getting carted to the hospital after he broke his back, essentially, with Jim Burt hitting him. Walsh didn't think he'd ever play again. Steve knows this from experience, and he's saying, no, Booger, I know you know defensive line play, but, like, the coach told the quarterback, you're fired, essentially.
He told everybody that.
And not Joe Shasky, not Bonte Hill, Kyle Shanahan.
The coach did it the week of the Super Bowl when he talked about his love affair for Kirk Cousins. He told us that. That offseason, when they called Jimmy and said, hey, Jimmy, no disrespect, but we're looking into Tom Brady. We're looking into Tom Brady, Jimmy. No disrespect at all, but we're doing our due diligence on this quarterback because they wanted to upgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo.
And going back to, just real quick, going back to the Bill Walsh, because everyone wants to glorify him, that's literally what he was trying to do with John Elway and Joe Montana in the 83 draft.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt.
Now, it didn't come to fruition, but I think a lot of teams do this. I mean, you don't think Belichick was trying to upgrade from Brady as much as he loved Brady?
That's why they got Garoppolo.
Exactly.
That's why Garoppolo got shipped out. But Booger was so misinformed there. The reason why they moved up to go get Trey Lance because they wanted to upgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo. And when Shanahan saw Josh Allen carve him up in Glendale, Arizona on Monday Night Football, he said, boy, I need one of those guys. And then he's thinking about it like, well, my dad did have John Elway. And even though he was older in his career, he still was a threat to use his legs to extend plays.
Well, and I guess one of the things that you and I spoke about last year before the season started, hey, Jordan Love was drafted to replace Aaron Rodgers. He showed a slight bit of decline, but then Aaron Rodgers bounces back with an MVP season last year and an MVP season again. And so you look at him, you're like, wow, they got the best out of Aaron Rodgers. They shouldn't have drafted Jordan Love. Well, maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't reach the heights that he had without that little push, that nudge. And I was hoping drafting Trey Lance might nudge the best out of Jimmy. He had a good year last year. I wouldn't say a great year, not like an Aaron Rodgers MVP.
It was solid.
It was a good year. They made the playoffs, but it was a good year. I don't know what to expect from Jimmy Garoppolo this year, but the two of them, Shanahan and Jimmy, they just need each other. They need to reconcile whatever the issues are and squeeze the best out of both of each other.
Well, here's Steve Young on that relationship between Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan.
I beg that Kyle and Jimmy have a conversation that I don't know that has been had yet, where Jimmy goes in and says, Kyle, clearly you fired me. I wasn't doing something you wanted me to do. What can I do to become a better football player? What have I not done that has kept me from getting you winning you over?
Because the fans and you're asking, hasn't happened.
Yeah. But then where's the Kyle somehow? If they've done that many iterations and Jimmy can't be that guy, is that what Kyle's decided? He can't be that guy, and so we're going to get rid of him because he can't be. Or is there something that Jimmy can do? Can he be the first one in and the last one out? Is there study habits? Is there something else that can step function Jimmy's ability to win over Kyle Shanahan?
And that's what's intriguing about this entire situation. How's Jimmy going to respond to Kyle? How's Kyle going to respond to Jimmy? The guy, the
such
head
a great
coach
question.
Who tried to move off you for 4 years now, basically tried to move off you. Trying to move off you. Excuse me, 3 years. Since 2019. How's Jimmy going to respond? Where's his shoulder at? How's his team going to respond? What are the expectations now with Jimmy Garoppolo back in the saddle? Jimmy Garoppolo, folks, is starting a quarterback on Sunday against the Denver Broncos, and I cannot believe it. But how's Kyle going to call the game? How's he going to call the game? How's that relationship? How, like, do they need a conversation, Shasky, in your opinion? Does Jimmy need to go to Kyle and be like, hey, what's up? What do I need to do now?
I don't know. I don't know what their relationship is, so I think it's kind of foolish for me to sit here and try to examine it.
But it doesn't look good, right? Does it look like, from afar, all the years that Jimmy played under Kyle Shanahan,
yeah.
Did it ever look like Shanahan fully trusted Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, it didn't. It didn't. But Bonte, sometimes out of necessity, you got to make it work. Right? Like you see this in marriages from time to time. You see this in partnerships. People stay together for the overall good of the business. Stay together for the kids until they finish graduating, whatever, high school or something like that. You see this a lot in life. It's not just in the workplace or in sports. Out of necessity, the two of these guys need each other. And so whatever the issues are, they got to just dust them off and keep rolling. So Jimmy's a better man than me. I know that I was listening to Guru talk about this, and I'm kind of with Guru. My ego, I don't know if I'd be able to come tail tucked coming back to this situation. Not only did he do that, now he's in a position to succeed. And
here's my thing.
He's been much more of an adult than I would have been. And
it's not even that. Jimmy's been a nice guy. And if Jimmy wasn't a nice guy, he wouldn't be back here. This is what I said yesterday. The 49ers brass ought to be counting their blessings that Jimmy Garoppolo was available as a backup quarterback. Like, straight up, Jimmy, any other quarterback would have been like, cut me, release me, I don't care, let me move on. You fully don't trust me.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, and he's back. And he's been the most, I keep going back to this, he's the most disrespected Niner I've seen in the last 30 years, at least in my adult life. Like, Jeff Garcia was up there for a while, because I don't think we fully appreciated what Jeff Garcia did.
Tom Brody going way back.
Yeah, but I wasn't alive for that,
I don't even know. But he was very underappreciated.
You could read the stories about that.
He flipped off the fans, for example. That's just the famous story. Yeah,
no doubt. But like Garoppolo, we have beat him up over and over and over and over again. And a lot of guys didn't come to his defense when it came to the Super Bowl 54 loss. A lot of guys didn't come to his defense even last postseason. And look, to his credit, he did play hurt. Now, when you get on between the white lines, I expect you to make throws. The injuries can't be an excuse, right? You got to make throws. But he has been beat up even by his own head coach. Just a little vote of confidence. And now they have to work together again. It's
insane. Unbelievable.
And it is not insane. Only that.
I grant you that.
Kyle's Q rating in this market is dependent on how well Jimmy Garoppolo plays football.
So now that I agree with.
Seriously.
Let me ask you this question, because I've been thinking about this the last 2 days. We talk so much about the winning team. They got to win now. And everyone's losing their mind. When they were coming off a down year in 2020, this is pure hypothetical. Would it have been easier to just cut ties with Jimmy, and even if the kid was super green, start the kid? Or did Kyle need that winning season so bad to prove himself to certain people that they had to keep Jimmy G? Because I was thinking about, like, I almost feel like it was going against not just Kyle, but Trey and the team and everything to go to the NFC Championship game last year. It was almost just set everything up to be unrealized potential. Like, it felt like he was up against it so bad. Had they not made the playoffs last year, had he had started the year they were coming off the playoffs, I think the pressure and the expectations would have been ratcheted down just a little more than what it was. Am I wrong to think that?
It's kind of like the Giants winning 107, right? A lot of people say, man, that's the worst thing to happen to the San Francisco Giants winning 107 games.
I kind of do now.
I think when you win 107, when you win 107, you need to capitalize on that, and you need to build off of that, and the Giants didn't do that. The Niners, did they build off of that NFC Championship run? I don't know if they did. They didn't bring back Lakin Tomlinson.
But
Alex Mack retired.
I meant going back the year before in 2020, when it was spotty.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
I'm
would that have been a softer starting point as opposed to coming off the NFC Championship game?
This is a total hypothetical. But I'm going back to where you ended there, because I'll get back to that in a second. You know where I stood last year, leaving training camp. I thought Trey should have been a starter in Detroit, Michigan. I thought he should have been a starter week one against Detroit, because I thought those are two soft landing spots. Detroit and in Philadelphia. I thought, boom, right away, you get a chance to go on the road, face adversity, and, you know, get ready for Green Bay in week three. I thought he should have started week one. Now, a lot of people say Vontae wasn't ready. Maybe he wasn't ready.
It felt like he wasn't ready this year.
Well, it didn't. It felt like the coach didn't trust him to throw the ball, which leads me to another question is, why'd you select the guy number three overall? Wait, you drafted him, and then he gets to camp, you say, oh, boy, we made a mistake. Well, this is what's angering me, too. Shanahan, I think the criticism of Shanahan, my beef, is you guys just whipped on a lot of first-round picks and a lot of second-round picks. We're in year six. That starts to catch up with you at some... Mm-hmm. What did Trent Baalke in? Trent Baalke was whiffing on picks, and it finally caught up to him. That
Michael James and relationships. Because I don't want to dismiss that. Relationships are part of the working dynamic.
He's still in Jacksonville. He's got relationships, and they seem like they're building something.
Yeah. You
got
to Google it.
He missed on those picks. We do y'all have players? Then all of a sudden we look to the relationships. Oh, well, wait, you're not picking the right players. You're picking busts.
Well, and now you have bad relationships. And you're tough to work with.
Yes. But if the players produced, we would have been like, hey, he's tough to work with, but you know what? He drafts good players. He would have got a pass for that. Mm-hmm. It's all about wins and losses at the end of the day. And here's That's the bottom line.
And here's the fight. Like, I was under the impression that Shanahan has the final say on the entire roster, especially when it comes to offense.
He had the final say with Trey Lance. There's no doubt.
And like, as much as I'm in love with Debo and Brandon Ayuk, and we love George Kittle, they have missed on a lot of offensive picks.
A lot of picks.
And the most important one is the quarterback one. And it feels right now, just again, I know he got hurt and it was too early. It just feels like something's off there. Whether it's the relationship, whether it's the pick not being good enough, whether it's not the development, I think all those things are fair.
So to answer that question is like, yeah, you lose in an NFC championship game. You're up 10 points in the NFC championship game. Maybe it is the worst thing to happen to Trey. Because all of a sudden, he's got to pick up and say, boy, this team was in an NFC championship last year.
And they were literally a Jimmy G interception in the red zone, which happened. They were one drive away from not making the playoffs. Mm. I don't think people remember that second half in L.A. It was wild. Debo threw a touchdown.
Was in the regular season.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about week 18. Oh, week 18. That's what I'm saying. Week 18. Yeah. Like, they were one half away from not qualifying for the playoffs.
Yep. Let's go to the lines. Philmo, Mike in the city. We got four lines right now. Philmo, Mike, what's happening? You're on the roast. What's up, Philmo?
Oh, hey, what's up, y'all, man? Hey, man, I just want to speak two things. I heard you talking about the locker room being divided. I don't know if they divided for real. You can't say that. Joe, you tried to say the white people was with Ross Below. I don't know if that was the case, but I do want to speak to his professionalism. Usually when Garoppolo scores a touchdown, he usually does like a spike of the ball or something. Mm-hmm. But I think in respect to Trey Lance in the situation, he didn't do that. That goes back to what you guys are saying, that he's, you know, he's a great person, man. Like, I think he really understood the moment, and him doing that would have kind of like signified like, yeah, I'm back, this is my team. Right. He didn't really do that. He just gave the ball to the ref. And I seen that and I said, man, I really respect Garoppolo a lot more for that, man. I don't know if y'all noticed that, but I surely did.
I tell you what, Philmo, thanks for the call. I really respect the hell out of Garoppolo for how professional he's been. He has a set of peep. We can knock his game. We can knock his throws. We've said move on from him, you know, and I don't play the team, Jimmy. I'm team Niners. But Jimmy has been a freaking pro, and he's represented this organization very well. And I always go back to the day he was traded, to that stint he had where they went 5-0. He reinvigorated this franchise. It wasn't Kyle Shanahan. It wasn't George Kittle. It was number 10, Jimmy Garoppolo coming here saying, I'm going to be the quarterback here. And he had everybody hyped up. He had Levi's developed a soul because of number 10. I think that's safe to say. You can say whatever you want to say about his throws, his throwing power, his arm, whatever. Jimmy Garoppolo reinvigorated this franchise. They were at rock bottom leaving Philadelphia in 2017. And for Philmo to say that, Jimmy has been a total pro. And I respect the hell out of him for that.
For sure. I don't think his personality or who he is outside of the ghosting thing has been in question in 5 years. The question's always been these two things. These two things have been the major questions. Can he stay on the field enough, and can he get you over the top? Those were the questions, right?
Yep.
Right? He's good, is he good enough? Mm-hmm. Which is a very nuanced question,
yep.
right? And there's a million different answers
to
that.
And look, he has to be good enough. Why? Because there are Super Bowl aspirations around here. You can say what you want to say
about I'm pumping the brakes on. I think it's so unfair.
Shasky,
I don't care who the QB is.
No matter what, it's Super Bowl aspirations are out here. And the pressure to win the Lombardi for Kyle Shanahan has ratcheted up because of what happened on Sunday to Trey Lance. It has. It has. And the arrogance that was displayed after that game and on that conference call. He got defensive. Stiney said something last week, and I don't agree with the question, where he said, oh, if this was a, you know, Philadelphia, New York, they would have asked Shanahan about maybe replacing Trey Lance or something about Jimmy starting. But Stiney is, there's some truth to that in this sense. He couldn't last there because we just basically asked him last year about the starting quarterback. He got defensive and called us hard-headed. And we asked him about the running play, and he got defensive about it. He got testy. It's like, it's just the fans want to know. Media members want to know.
Here's
was it the bad call? And that's where Stiney's onto something with that
one. But here's where I struggle with the Super Bowl or bust thing. Because they're going to lose some games this year, and people are going to overcorrect and panic and lose their minds and go crazy. I understand.
It's the NFL.
I understand that. But I just didn't view them, whether Jimmy G, if we just remove Trey from the situation and Jimmy G's rolling back this year, there'd be tons and tons of pressure. Would they be the Super Bowl favorite going in? No. Like, when we look at Super Bowl favorites.
If Jimmy was playing quarterback, the Niners would have been on the short list of going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, I agree with
that. They were already on the short list with Trey Lance.
In the mix. And maybe I'm parsing words here.
Trey Lance, a quarterback there on the short list.
Again, in the mix. And maybe I'm parsing words here. I just think it's a disservice to... The margins are so thin. They barely backed into the playoffs last year, got in, won two road games to get to the NFC Championship game. Like, it's just so razor thin when it comes to these margins.
That's all.
I feel very foolish saying Super Bowl or bust because I know what's going to happen. We're going to lose a game down at some point. We're going to say, oh, Jimmy, see, I knew this wouldn't happen. And I don't think that this roster, as good as it is, because of the quarterback element and because I see who's winning and hoisting these Lombardis, I have a hard time thinking that the Niners are the favorite to win a Super Bowl.
Two of the last 3 years where the Niners ended up.
They're close. They're right there. It's incredible that they're right there.
10 in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl and 10 in the NFC Championship.
I know. But
have those aspirations? You can't tell a fan to say, man, Jimmy's back. We've won a lot of games. A lot of people are going to point, and I don't believe in quarterback win-losses no more, but the facts are when Jimmy's in the lineup, the Niners win a lot of games. It may not be the way we want them to
100%.
Win. 100%. It's not exciting, 100%. But they're in the mix. Those are facts, man.
So I hear you, but if you're not even the favorite to win your own division, how can I sit here and say that you're the favorite to win the Super Bowl?
They are. They're a top 8 team in the league.
The team that won the Super Bowl last year with a slightly better quarterback in Matt Stafford, who still is here, and they deserve the BOD, benefit of doubt in my mind.
The Niners have won 6 in a row against that team to the NFC Championship game. 6 in a row.
So you just don't agree with me?
I just don't think it's right for you to say that people can't have a Super Bowl or bust mentality.
I'm not saying
this team has all the time.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, you don't have to.
And I didn't think this was a Super Bowl. I thought that, hey, this is a playoff team. That's what I thought. To me, this is a playoff team.
Look how many players
no matter who's
had,
under center.
Look how many players they had in the top 100.
Oh, a ton.
How many All Pros did they have? How many Pro Bowlers?
But
they have premium players at every. Except for wide receiver, they have a premium player. They have a premium player tight end.
I know.
Premium player on the offensive line. Even though the offensive line, we got questions about it. Premium player on the defensive line. Premium player at linebacker. Hufanga looks like a premium player. Charvarius Ward looks like a dip cook corner.
I don't dismiss any of those things. I just,
so why can't we have Super Bowl aspirations
because
when the NFC is up for grabs?
Because it's hard for me to envision Jimmy or whoever, or Trey or whomever it was, who's not one of the dudes in the league, hoisting it. Like I struggle with that.
Super Bowl thoughts were there with Trey Lance. They were there with Trey Lance.
I thought they were a playoff team. I thought that was the minimum for me. Success right. was making the playoffs with Trey Lance.
We're gonna get Ryan,
and I don't think I should overcorrect and now say Super Bowl because of Jimmy Garoppolo.
We'll get the Rob Guerrera stats on fire on Twitter. He's going to join us next segment. Also, Ryan J.K. James, we'll get to you first. We got a conversation here about the Niners and where should our expectations be now? Where are we at with Kyle Shanahan? 888-957-9570. That is the phone line and the text line, the Comcast Business text line, of course. And I see your text rolling in. We're also on YouTube and Twitch. And don't forget to download the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app where you can find us there. And we podcast every interview, including Brian Baldinger, who joined us an hour ago at 7:30 here on The Roast. What's coming up in the game? Sponsored by the San Diego Tourism Authority. Your full call's coming up here on The Roast.
Everybody gets up for the morning roast.
Now, back to the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky.
It's been a very fun show. We'll get back to the lines in just a second. But do not forget on Odyssey Sports, first in pod, take a pair of best friends, separated by 500 miles, but united by their love of football. Give them a podcast, and you get first in pod. Danny Parkins and Andrew Filippone, they'll get you ready for week three with in-depth previews of every game, on every game. Give them 40 minutes, and they'll give you the league. New episodes every Monday and Friday. Follow first in pod on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. This is just... The Jimmy stuff is just crazy because just last week, we were having a conversation. You, Willard, Kruger, would you trade Jimmy Garoppolo for a first-round pick from the Dallas Cowboys? Guess what? No trades is going down when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo.
I mean, the irony of us talking about every other team's quarterback going down and then ours going down.
In the first quarter of week two. This is why I didn't want to trade him.
Poetic justice.
This is why I didn't want to trade him. I was like, I got to keep Jimmy because now you're one injury away from Brock Purdy.
Please.
How about that?
Don't even speak that into existence.
We'll get to Rob Guerrero in just a second. Let's go to Ryan in the city, listening via the old transistor radio. What's up, Ryan? You're on the roast.
Hey, good morning. You know, we're talking about professional football. We're not talking about high school football. And if I think about my work, if I'm not doing my job well, I'm having performance reviews. People are giving me feedback about what I'm not doing well. And if you're Jimmy G, I mean, you've heard the criticism that you can't throw the deep ball, that you are getting the box stacked on you because you can't stretch the defense. And if I'm Kyle, I've got a tight relationship with him, and we're working on that together. So I think it's possible that, you know, they may have a good relationship. They both may be very aware of what are considered to be his limitations. And if I'm Jimmy, I'm coming back off of a shoulder surgery, and everybody says I can't throw the deep ball. There's one thing that I'm working on the entire offseason once I can actually throw, and that's the deep ball. So I wonder, hey, maybe that relationship actually is healthy, and maybe they can have a real conversation about his limitations, and maybe they're working on it.
I'm with you all the way up until we get to the deep ball, because there are certain things physically. You're not going to go from a 90-mile-an-hour fastball pitcher to a 100-mile-an-hour fastball pitcher. Some guys just have things in the bag. Look, you can refine things. I don't know how great of a deep ball thrower he can become after a shoulder injury.
We'll see.
It's never going to be one of his strengths.
We'll see.
I mean, anything past 20 yards, that's not his strength. Anything to the outside, not going to be his strength.
That's going to be the...
Although he did make a nice throw to Jeff Wilson Jr.
It wasn't bad. He threw a dime to Brandon Ayuk. I'll give him that. But otherwise, it was Jimmy being Jimmy.
Well,
I also saw a medicine ball to Deebo Samuel. I'm not going to get there. I don't want to rip the guy.
for not playing and for not throwing a ball to his actual teammates for what felt like an eternity, I thought it was pretty good performance.
Listen to what we said about Trey Lance before the season. This team can get deep into the playoffs if Trey Lance doesn't turn the ball over, they run the football effectively, and they play solid defense. Now Jimmy's back in the lineup. You still have the same solid defense. That could be a great defense. They haven't even had Jimmy Ward yet. He hasn't even played yet. The running backs are going down, but you still have Deebo, Ayuk, and you haven't even seen George Kittle yet. I'm sorry, man. I got Super Bowl aspirations again. And I had it before. I had it with Trey, which seemed delusional. Jimmy's back. In two of the last 3 years, Niners have been in the NFC Championship game. Super Bowl up 10 in the fourth quarter. NFC Championship game up 10. Those are facts.
Here are other facts. Patrick Mahomes has been one of the best players any of us has ever seen in our lives. And they barely got the one Super Bowl off the Niners. They have been as close. I agree.
It's always close.
But that's...
Are we going to say that about Stafford? They barely won the Super Bowl.
But that, I'm trying to explain the degree of difficulty.
This is the
degree
NFL.
Of difficulty.
This parity in the NFL.
I understand that.
It's going to be close games.
Okay, so...
He's got one. Shanahan doesn't. The Niners don't. They haven't had one since 94.
I know. And think of how close it was in the fourth quarter. I just think when we say the SB word, Super Bowl, and we just throw it around flippantly left and right, I just think it's reckless. That's me. Playoffs is different.
We're not throwing that around, though.
Like, when I look at Super Bowls, like, there are a handful of guys that I go, yeah, that guy needs a Super Bowl. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes.
Right.
Everybody else is still in the, like, wow, it'd be great if you got to a championship game. That'd be a great year. I know your fan base would love to win the Super Bowl.
Why can't we have Super Bowl aspirations? We're not throwing around Super Bowl just like that. Like, hey, Super Bowl team. No. When you look at the NFC.
I just look at levels to it.
Look at the NFC.
Look at levels to it.
Who's the dominant team in the NFC right now?
I don't know if there's a, I don't know. It's right now, it's 2 weeks in. I agree.
It's wide open.
I agree, but like, be that.
People were telling me last week that Minnesota was a favorite just in the NFC, and Minnesota stinks.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kirk Cousins I don't is agree the quarterback. I don't agree with that. They don't stink, but Kirk Cousins is an
average
you.
Quarterback.
I'm with you. But like, let's look at Cincinnati. We'll take a deep breath, everybody. Cincinnati, should they have been Super Bowl or bust aspirations heading into this year?
Possibly, yes.
See, I don't think so. I look at the AFC and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of great teams.
There's a lot of teams.
They had a magical year. Be really hard to replicate.
Cincinnati got
and maybe
close.
I'm looking at it through the wrong lens. So,
I think you are. I think you are. I think people in Cincinnati said, man, we got to the Super Bowl and we have a young, promising core. We were ahead. We were a year ahead of schedule. Now look at us.
I mean,
and they thought they improved their offensive line.
We had Montana. We won 4 Super Bowls in 9 years or whatever it was. And that feels incredible. And looking back, people are like, we should have won 8. And then you look at like Steve Young. He only won 1 as a starter. And it feels like he underperformed. To me, the larger thing is outside of Bradshaw, outside of Aikman, Montana.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, you throw Brady in there, it is so hard to even win 1 Super Bowl. And I just think that we throw the Super Bowl word around and I don't think it's fair. That's just me. I don't think it's fair.
I think it's very fair when you have a team that's been to the NFC Championship 2 times in the last 3 years. And the approval rating of Kyle Shanahan is down right now with this fan base. The only way that Shanahan can get that approval rating back up is by hoisting that Lombardi. Because a lot of people don't trust Shanahan no more. A lot of people are out on Kyle Shanahan. A lot. Now, I don't think he should be fired. I think that's crazy talk. That's blasphemous. But a lot of people are down on Shanahan. And you know how we can get back up and rally around Shanahan? Is if he's there in Glendale, Arizona, hoisting that Lombardi. The 49ers' first Super Bowl since 1994. Let's get to Rob Guerrero real quick. Stats on Fire. Stats on Fire here on the Morning Roast. NFL podcast host for SB Nation NFL. And I think he missed the point that we were talking about earlier. He's tweeting at us saying, you know, no idea what Morning Roast is talking about right now. Shanahan has held back Garoppolo. Have they not watched the games? How much Jimmy G do we need to see before we admit that he is what he is? I don't think that was the point, Rob. The point we were making is that Shanahan has shown that he doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo, and maybe he should open up the playbook, because if he's the quarterback, why not just throw the full arsenal at him? But it's been proven that he doesn't trust Jimmy, which is why we're raising the question, Why are you sticking around with this guy? Why can't you figure out your quarterback position? That's what we're getting to, Rob.
Well, I think it's fair. Like, he doesn't trust Jimmy. We've seen it. Any third and long, he does a check down or a screen pass to Debo and says, save us. But the reason that he doesn't trust Jimmy is because when Jimmy has the ball in his hand, he doesn't take care of it. He turns it over. He's got the confidence of a daytime
quarterback. Rob, we ever disagreed with that. We never said Jimmy Garoppolo looked great on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks.
I thought he looked good. No, let me just step in. I thought he looked good, given that I watched this guy on a side field throwing to a bunch of guys in shorts and T-shirts for however many weeks on end. And, yeah, he didn't get any real live bullet reps in a preseason game with his teammates. I thought all things being, and I'm not even a Jimmy Garoppolo stan. I'm just a Niner fan. I want to see the team win. I thought all things being considered, he looked pretty good.
Oh, hold on. This is the same guy where Kyle Shanahan was laughing it off, right, when we brought up, he doesn't even have a playbook. And Kyle was laughing it off saying, I don't have a playbook either. So now we're going to give him his flowers because he played okay?
Like that, am I being, like, I'm not saying that he looked like Montana in his prime. I'm saying, all things considered, he looked pretty rhythmic and they moved the ball and I thought it was better than I expected.
We didn't say that when Trey Lance came in against Seattle in the second half last year. We didn't say, well, he hasn't been throwing. He hasn't
got any reps.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we did. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, you know, that's what we did. So I just think that we're being too critical of Jimmy Garoppolo. Look, I'm not even here to say that Jimmy's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but can we have, like, some nuance here in context? He didn't practice at all with the team. I'm watching him on a side field. Basically, I thought he was gone with this team, and then, boom, he gets plopped into the game. And they move the ball okay. It's not the end of the world.
I think that I have to agree. If your hesitancy was, we can't give the reins to Trey Lance because this is a Super Bowl roster, well, now Lance doesn't have the reins. Jimmy has the reins. So you have to have Super Bowl expectations, right? That's all we hear about Jimmy.
That's where I'm at.
Winner.
That's where I'm at.
Win.
That's where I'm at.
Let's see it.
Where are you at with Kyle Shanahan as a head coach of the 49ers?
I still think Kyle's a good head coach. I don't blame Kyle breath. For straight.
Hey, Rob, before you go, that was a deep breath. Why?
Because I feel like the people are blaming Kyle Shanahan for Trey Lance's injury. If he knew that Trey Lance was going to get hurt, he wouldn't have run that play. What I blame Kyle Shanahan for is not letting Trey Lance throw enough. Not that, like, any run to the side, run up the middle, it takes the ball out of his hand as a thrower. And that's where he needed to develop. And I saw a stat yesterday because Kyle said, well, you guys need to watch other teams. Buffalo does this. That's not true. Buffalo ran Josh Allen in his first 2 years on 6% of his snaps. In Trey Lance's first 2 years, what we have seen, he ran Trey Lance more than three times more than that. He ran him on 19% of his snaps. So that's not what Buffalo was doing. If Trey needs to develop as a passer, they should have let him pass. The problem was the team wanted to have their cake this year and eat it too. They wanted to try and develop Trey while winning games, and it didn't work out.
Didn't work out. Not Super Bowl aspirations now for you, Rob, with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Where
back
are you at on that?
Even though you're down on Jimmy, you have Super Bowl aspirations?
You have to, because nobody wanted Trey to start, right? The players couldn't wait to tell Mike Silver how much better they think the team is now that Jimmy Garoppolo is the starter. They couldn't even wait for Trey to be on the operating table before they told him that. But now, okay, here it is. You got your guy. You got your Super Bowl roster. Go win the Super Bowl now. To me, it would be illogical to have expectations lower than that if you were saying it's a Super Bowl roster before the year.
It's true.
It's hard to argue on that front. I just, to me, and again, these are players talking, not me. I mean, I'm giving you my perspective. I just think it's so difficult to win a damn Super Bowl. We throw that word around flippantly, just in the media in general, and it's like Patrick Mahomes has been the best quarterback in the planet for the last 25 years, and the guy's got one Super Bowl, and the Niners should have won that one.
You scuff at one Super Bowl, Shasky.
No, I'm not.
It.
I'm saying keep that's saying how difficult Super it is Bowl. To win one. The degree of difficulty on Super Bowls when your name's not Tom Brady is through the roof.
That fact is there, and it's not even Tom Brady winning those Super Bowls. His first three was led by the defense.
Well, Peyton Manning was one of the greatest players ever, and he won one with his arm basically done. His neck done. I know, but I'm saying he had one in his prime. The other one, the defense got him.
Rob, thanks for the time today, brother.
Sorry, we're nuts.
Anytime you need me.
All right, buddy. Let's get to the calls. Polo in Redwood City.
What's up, Polo?
What's happening, Polo?
Man, nothing much. Just chilling, man. Hey, everybody keeps pointing the finger at Jimmy. He can't throw the ball and this, that. But, hey, it comes back around again. not everybody on the team can stay healthy. We lost our running back. Last year we lost Mostert. And now we have to go. We lost a receiver. We have to go pick up Sanders. It's just like Jimmy can't never get a break. Like, he's a good quarterback. He can throw the ball. It's just the people that's around him that can't stay healthy. Now Kittle got to get up to par. We got to work with a rookie running back now. It's a mess for Jimmy now, all over again. And now everything's got to rely on him and his arm, which he needs help at the receiving core because they can't even get open. It's crazy. I watched last night's game where everybody was running wide open.
Yeah, it was great offenses on display last night in Philadelphia and Buffalo. Thanks for the call, Polo. That's one thing that we haven't discussed at all. Did the 49ers front office do a good job of constructing this roster or adding on to the roster? I know the salary cap was in hell. They couldn't do a lot of moves. They couldn't make a lot of moves.
The salary caps by their own. Like, again, let's take a step back. They've been here since day one. Let's go back to the beginning of Shanahan.
Yeah.
They started from scratch. Vance McDonald had to get an extension to hit the floor of the salary cap.
Right.
And everyone was like, what are you doing? Well, they had to spend money on someone. They started with nothing, and they spent wildly in free agency to build this thing up. And then you could question some of the extensions. Like, if you want to look at some of the money, like the Armstead making $18 million in the middle of the defensive line. I mean, look, I like Armstead. I'm not spending that kind of money on interior pressure.
They spent money
on it's Aaron Donald.
Weston Richburg didn't work out. Quan Alexander didn't work out.
McGlinchey, they gave him the 5th-year option. You could have given him a 2-year deal for the amount you paid him for one.
Don't bring back Lincoln Tomlinson. So to what Polo was saying.
Is what I'm getting at the money.
Yeah, what Polo was saying, and one thing we haven't really discussed, did the 49ers do it? We talk about the Giants not adding on.
Yeah.
Buster Posey walking and Chris Bryant walking.
But they added Charvarius Ward. Right. He was the number one corner
on a
lot of people's boards.
They added him.
And I thought that was a great acquisition. He looks good.
But other than that, did they improve his offense?
Well, the offensive line, to me, was the number one area out of last year. Looking into this year, it was like, you have to upgrade the O-line.
I don't think that they've done that. Did they add wide receivers than Danny Gray? And we don't even know who Danny Gray is other than the deep route runner.
I would have liked to have seen another playmaker.
Tight
absolutely.
End.
I wanted another tight end. I mean, Mew and I, we came out of that NFC Championship game, and what was the number one need that I had coming out of that offensively? Besides the offensive line, I said, B, they got to get a second tight end.
Yep.
They have to. If you're going to be a team that establishes the run, you got to get another playmaking tight end.
Let's go to Rolando in Napa. Rolando, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Nothing much, man. I'm a big fan of your shows, and, you know, I just want to piggyback what you guys think earlier about how professional Jimmy Garoppolo has been for this whole situation. I'll go back to I think it was somebody said a couple weeks ago, who said that I think coming where he comes from, especially with players who are drafted, especially coming from Garoppolo, I think being drafted from where he was and where he went to actually plays a factor into how professional he is, because if say Jimmy Garoppolo went to Alabama, I think this whole thing would be a lot worse. But I think being humble about where he came from, being drafted, same as Trey Lance, like, it shows how professional he is.
Let's put something in perspective here. If this were college, he'd have ejected and hit the NIL, and he'd have been in the transfer portal yesterday. All right? Because there's only 120 teams playing football in college. I looked around just to give you an idea for a quick second. There were like 4 former USC quarterbacks playing, starting around the league.
Jackson,
there are only
Dart,
32 NFL teams.
No doubt.
How many of these teams have invested and have either a proven guy or a young guy that they want to see? So there's a process of elimination. If this were college, best believe Jimmy Garoppolo would have hit the transfer portal. Am I wrong?
No. But you know what? Good thing this isn't college.
I know.
And good thing he's back.
I know.
Niner Nabs in Santa Rosa. Niner Nabs, what's happening? You're on the roast.
What's up, y'all? Hey, first of all, I want to say I'm a first-time caller. I love you, Bonte.
Thank you.
Shasky, you know how much I love you, man. I'm a first-time
thank
caller.
You. Thank you.
The reason why I'm calling, thank you, man. The reason why I'm calling is because I'm really adamant about what I'm about to say. First of all, I'm 100% behind Jimmy now. I'm a Trey guy, but I will admit Jimmy's done a lot of really good things for us.
Of course.
And because he's currently our starting quarterback, I'm 100% behind him now. Why? I'm a 49er fan. It doesn't matter who's back there.
Yeah.
I'm going to back him.
No doubt.
But I want to say, what I feel inside is that what Shanahan did to that young kid was intentional. And this is why it's intentional. This is why I'm going to break it down. Please give me a second. What do the quarterbacks do in practice? They wear a black jersey. They don't get hit. They wear a black jersey. What were they talking about in June and July? He had arm fatigue, right? I don't know if he did or not, but he had arm fatigue. That's what they were saying. That's what the reports were. Why does he have arm fatigue? Because he throws the ball a lot. What do linebackers do? What do defensive tackles and defensive linemen, edge rushers do? They train their body for contact. Have you seen their necks? How about the offensive linemen, tight ends? Even wide receivers, mostly running backs, though. What do they look like? They train their body for contact. This guy is running him in between the tackles. What were you watching yesterday? I was watching Jalen Hurts running the ball outside, scrambling outside the tackle. He would slide. He'd have a chance to run out of bounds. If he got hit, who was he getting hit by? A 200-pound defensive back. Now, you don't run a guy in between the tackles if he's your franchise quarterback. This is all psychological. This is what he was doing. You can see his smug face after, in the interviews after, when he was at the podium. That's exactly what he wanted to do.
Niner naps.
I'm not mad at the call.
There was a lot of facts in that call. I'm going to tell you what I feel.
There was a lot of facts in that call.
It's reckless for me to speculate on any coach in any sport trying to get someone hurt or being deliberate. That is not his intention. I feel like that's nonsense. I understand some of the points that he was making, but his larger point, I just can't. That is completely reckless and not fair to Shanahan any coach in the NFL.
Sorry to cut you off, Shasky, but I will say, there's a lot of facts in there the way Jalen Hurts was used. I don't agree with the way Trey Lance was used in his short career.
But that doesn't mean that he deliberately tried to get his quarterback hurt.
I'm not saying that.
That's going five exits too far for me.
That's like saying we're rooting against the 49ers because Jimmy Garoppolo's at quarterback. We're hate watching.
There's been one guy who's tried to hurt people, and that's people on the other team. His name is Greg Williams. Yeah. All right, he tried to cut the head off the snake at Candlestick.
It's the only name we know about.
But I'm saying, like, and that's a defensive coordinator.
Trust me. Bounties happen at all levels.
But you're not doing it to your quarterback. You're not doing it on your own team. I love you. I appreciate it. There were a lot of good points. The larger point, I can't do that.
There's a lot of good points. Let's go to Brian in San Leandro. Brian, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Yo, hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Hey, man, you know, I got a couple of inquiries or comments. I think Jimmy G is unique in one sense. He is one of four quarterbacks that has 70% winning percentage. Also, I think people are being too harsh on Shanahan with his quarterback decision. I don't think it's something wrong to take a gamble in football because of the injury rate. It's so prolific. So what I'm trying to say is he took a gamble on Trey Lance.
I love that bet. It was a bold swing. I'm here for it.
But to make that bet and not allow him to throw the ball, it's a weird gamble, Brian. It's a weird gamble.
It's a gamble in the sense that he had a gamble and then he has one of the best quarters.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to back him up just in case he fails. You know what I mean? So Jimmy Garoppolo is one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
All right, we got to go. A little too far. It's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Shanahan has told you that. By drafting Trey Lance. This is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. What numbers? What?
The number one thing that they have to do moving forward is they have to protect Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And they have to keep him upright. And they have to get back to establishing the run with whoever the running backs are. If they allow Jimmy Garoppolo to go down this year, you are looking at a catastrophic failure. You cannot lose two quarterbacks in 1 year.
Brock Purdy could save the day.
Oh,
Gene in Oakland, you're on the roast here on 95.7 The Game. Gene, what's happening?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, you know, I love Jimmy G, but yeah, no, he's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league. hey, look, you know, I'm with you, Fonte. I don't see any reason why we can't have Super Bowl aspirations at this point. I mean, you can have aspirations, but if they fall short, not consider the season a lost season. I mean, like last year, I enjoyed last year's season until the last 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. So, but I do think we, looking at the league right now at this moment, at least the NFC, yeah, I mean, there's no dominant teams out there. I don't see any reason why we can't win our division. And, you know, listen, if we have all the parts and pieces around Jimmy, all right, and we're a better, more balanced team. Now, we still have the O-line to deal with, but I think that's showing signs of getting better, and I'm confident it'll get worked out. I don't see why Jimmy can't be like Brad Johnson or Trent Dilfer or Jim McMahon. As long as he has a dominant team around him, he could win a Super Bowl just like one of the seven or eight.
Gene, the three names you referenced had defenses that had three Hall of Famers at minimum on each of them.
This defense ain't bad.
Although the Ravens, I believe, only had one. They drafted Ed Reed later. Man,
that defense was sick.
It was sharp. It was so sick.
Sam Adams in the middle. You had two studs.
Saragusa belly flopping on people.
Juanito on YouTube. I bet Bonte said Mullins was the next Montana. If anybody that knows me around this station and has heard me over the years, you better believe that I was so out on Nick Mullins. Nickel Nick. Matter of fact, that was the one game where I felt, I'm ashamed to say this, but when he got benched against Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football, I laughed for five straight minutes, and I was like, thank the heavens the Nick Mullins era is over. I never believed in Nick Mullins, ever. So Juanito, you want to call me a clown, that's fine. You call me a clown for a lot of reasons. That's not what I said. Come on, man, do better. What a way to last recall.
But like the defense...
I need a blunt after these last couple calls.
The defense is really good. When you cite those teams, like Tampa Bay, people will always cite Brad Johnson. They had Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice. They had a guy. Who was the guy the Raiders swooped up and spent a ton of money on, the safety? Come on. Who was the guy? Who was the safety that ended up?
Dexter Jackson?
Was it Dexter Jackson?
Was that his name, Dexter
they
Jackson?
They had Tiki Barber's brother, Rondé, locking down one side. They had a ridiculous team. Booger McFarland, who doesn't know quarterbacks, he was on that defensive line. Yep. They were loaded.
Really good.
I'm not saying that this team can't have a great defense this year. But, like, let's wait till we get to week 14 before we start heralding it as one of the, like, all-time great defenses.
I coined Money Mullins as a joke. It was a joke, folks.
Money Mullins.
That's how bad it was. You know? There's this guy named Eddie I used to work with, right?
Uh-huh.
Back in the day.
Eddie.
This other station I worked at, right? And he was an intern.
Eddie the intern.
And Eddie was so slow, I called him Fast Eddie.
How you doing?
Right. He was so slow to cut sound. He was so slow to cut sound, to do things.
Mark like that.
I coined him Fast Eddie.
Fast Eddie.
He was so slow, I was like, just go call him Fast Eddie.
All right.
Make him feel good about himself, right? Money Mullins was a nickname that we made fun of. Stop it, folks. Stop it. Please, no more Nick Mullins mentioned, man. Don't let Michael Silver fool you about Nick Mullins. He was on the cusp of taking Jimmy's job. He struggled in 2019. Stop it. Just stop. All right. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC FM and AC1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game for the best and most up-to-date sports coverage. And don't forget that you can also watch us every single day on YouTube and Twitch streams. Just log on and search 95.7 The Game. Let's flex. Forgot to flex. Now that Jimmy's at quarterback, and for a lot of fans are out on Shanahan right now. Think about how many of your buddies are out on Shanahan. My buddies are out on Shanahan. Our text line, YouTube. I've seen a lot of anti-Shanahan texts and tweets. The only way in a lot of people's minds that Shanahan can get that Q rating back up is by winning the Super Bowl. Anything short of winning the Super Bowl is not going to fly with this fan base this season. It is what it is. I hear what you're saying. It's very hard to win the Super Bowl. But you look at the NFC. Who's the most dominant team in the NFC right now?
Well, right now?
Right now.
Philly has got to be at the top of the list.
Do you believe Philadelphia to be a Super Bowl team?
No, but that's why it's a season. There's a long way to go.
Exactly.
I still believe in Tom Brady being one of those guys at the end. I still believe that McVay and the Rams are going to be one of those teams at the end. As much as I'm down on the Packers, it's hard for me to dismiss that they will find a way to win double-digit games and probably be there at the end somewhere.
The Flex of the Show, presented by Xfinity Flex, the 4K streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium, free with Xfinity Internet.
All right, Flex Moment of the Show. Good show, good show, good show. Dibley's back. Willard's back. Day two.
Hey, before we go we've got this like air conditioning thingy on the bottom. Yeah. Does that not look like Lost in Space or what?
Well, we have actually one in our house in the East Bay because we don't have AC. And during that heat wave with the new baby, it's like, oh, my God, what do we do with this new baby?
Ice packs
to 108.
The face.
Yeah, you can't, like, ice the baby down. So we had to buy one of these Lost in Space Danger Will Robinson.
Lucky baby. She could just cruise around naked and nobody even would have cared. That's what I wanted to do during that whole thing.
Naked with a diaper, no doubt, but it's 97 in the bedroom. And it's funny because pre-heat wave, we looked online and we found a used one for $90. Oh. And like 3 days into the heat wave, the same unit was going for $400.
Wow.
People are out there gouging, folks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not like here in the city where it's like, oh, the heat wave.
Oh, dude.
It's 79. Dude. Where's Carl the Fog?
Yeah, you're Carl the Fog. Let me just tell you something. Carl the Fog, that fraud. We never called Fog by a name. It was just Fog. Just Fog. We didn't call it Carl because some transplant put out a Twitter account anonymously and then moved back to Nebraska and then went MIA for 3 years. Like, get out of here.
You had to get it worked up.
I hate Carl the Fog. It is the stupidest thing ever.
I lived in the inner Richmond in 94.
Which we call the Avenues, by the way. Well, the Avs.
The Avs are, I thought the Avs
more
were
the Sunset.
The Avs were the South.
We call both sides. We were rich, man. I went to high school out there.
Yeah, I know, but.
We partied out there at Oregon Playground, 18th, and we call it the Avenues.
No, you're not wrong. Yeah, I played tennis at Washington High School back in 85, and they had
the bridge.
They had a chain net.
Oh, yep.
Chain net on the lower courts.
Yeah, chain net on the
lower courts. Because of prison. Dude,
no, hey, don't talk about my high school like that. That's real basketball. When you get the chain nets.
Rebuild that locker room for Shasky, crying out loud. Survive. I put together a fundraiser to rebuild that locker room.
Dude, see, Shasky's used to go to St. Gabe's and St. Cecilia's. It's got a nice
What have you done for
Shasky? I used to live by St. Cecilia's.
I did a whole lot.
16th and Vicente. I played for Marin Catholic and we come over the bridge and
the Wildcats.
We're taking on thank you. We're taking on Washington.
No chain link
we're thinking
there.
It's an easy road to win.
No.
They got chain nets.
Too soft for that. Too soft.
We showed up
to chain nets, baby.
There's levels.
You look at New York City above the rim, all that stuff. Chain nets.
You want to watch your boy Meltdown 1985? None of you guys, zygotes, were even around, but your boy couldn't handle it.
When we went to Marin Catholic for the first time in a baseball game, not only did you have your own baseball field, they had the fence and a scoreboard. It was like, my God, we're in the minors. It was incredible because we're used to playing at Crocker Park. I mean, it's a helicopter pad.
St. Sebastian's over the field and left field. Shout out, you know,
as
we were talking about all the Saints.
Look at you.
St. Sebastian's.
Lunchtime at Washington, we will play on those lower courts because they wouldn't open the gym. And you get the chain. There was nothing, no better sound than that chain.
Ching.
Ching, ching. And you had everybody watching.
So what, we're burying the lead here. Mark was watching slyly as the Xfinity Flex was going down. And me and B just categorically disagree on this because I believe when we throw the SB word, Super Bowl, around our words, we throw it around flippantly. This team's a Super Bowl team. This guy's a Super Bowl. Yes, Brady won a zillion Super Bowls, and Bradshaw, and Montana. Those are like so few and far. It's so hard to win a Super Bowl.
Do you know how many, quarterbacks have ever won a Super Bowl?
30?
It's like, I think it's 35. It's like
30. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to guess 3.
Brady again. Nobody's disputing the difficulty of winning a Super Bowl.
Right.
But when you look at this team, that's been to 2 NFC championships in the last 3 years, and most of that core remains.
My
dudes. Think about the conversation last week. Man, Jimmy's a Super Bowl quarterback standing on the sideline. If you had Jimmy in the game, we'd be the favorites in the NFC. Was that not the conversation?
I was listening on the way in when you guys, when this conversation started.
Is it a stupid conversation?
No, I actually thought you guys were sort of like not hearing each other's words exactly because you both had a point. Bonte didn't say Super Bowl expectations. He said Super Bowl aspirations. How would we not have Super Bowl aspirations? Of course we do.
Well,
now,
aspirations, right?
But I agree with you. The conversation then sort of went to Super Bowl or bust.
Yes.
And no, I don't think that's
because I see that all over.
And by the way,
it's so unfair.
I mean, unless you're like
Mahomes
or
Brady
or Josh Allen or like take it to baseball.
It's a couple of teams.
Look at the way the Dodgers are now.
Right.
That's the only time I'm going to be like, you have to win the whole thing or else this season was a failure. Right. Outside of that, I don't think that's a very good way to watch sports.
It's a horrible measurement. It's a horrible measurement.
There's so many things that can happen.
I don't believe
it's not Super Bowl or bust, but of course we have Super Bowl aspirations.
Listen, I don't believe we're watching a game saying, oh, Super Bowl or bust, you lose this game. But you're going to have losses in a regular season. You're going to slip. The Buffalo Bills lost to Jacksonville last year, okay? They lost to Jacksonville. The Colts haven't won in Jacksonville in 8 years. Jacksonville was the worst team in football last year, right? So you're not going to say, hey, we're watching this game in the Super Bowl or bust. But by the time you get to January, and when you look at the team that the Niners have and the formula that they win with, strong defense, good running game, hard-nosed football, you can win in January like
that.
You
can win. Yes,
and so we get deeper and deeper, and you've had 10-point leads. You've had 10-point leads in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl.
Got in the playoffs.
You had a 10-point lead in the NFC Championship game. I don't care how hard it is. We all understand it's hard. I haven't won a Super Bowl since the mid-90s. I haven't got through puberty yet. You know what I'm saying? When the last time the Niners won the Super Bowl.
And with your beard, you went through puberty when you were like 7 years old, for crying out loud.
Honestly, couldn't connect till I was about 25 years old.
City Connect, I still can't.
Solid force.
I
think when we have this conversation, we need to talk about Super Bowl caliber. And if you are there in the conference championship weekend, you are Super Bowl caliber.
Okay.
And I know that they failed last year and they had a lead against the Rams and they lost to the Rams and they had a lead against Kansas City and they lost to Kansas City. But if you are Super Bowl caliber, that means you're playing in that final weekend before the Super Bowl.
No, I can't
NFC wide open, Mark.
Yo, gosh, the NFC's
wide open.
I tried to do NFC power rankings. There's one team I was trying to take you off with it, and
your
I did it.
Your power ranking stunk worse than the diaper I changed at 3:30 when I looked at him.
Do an NFC power ranking and see if you can even...
Shut up, Myla.
Do the NFC and tell me if you can even get to seven, and you feel like it's a good team.
King of the Hill tomorrow. King of the Hill tomorrow. By the way, this is a great point for Wesley.
I almost
want
to hear the open just to hear the open.
This is perfect. Wesley on YouTube.
Okay.
When Trey was a quarterback... There was a lot of conversations about, boy, the Niners are wasting a Super Bowl caliber roster on developing a quarterback.
Totally.
That was in a lot of people's minds.
Well, and it sounds like it might have been in some of the players' minds.
That's the other thing.
That's what matters to me.
Clearly.
Because there's every opinion is out there somewhere.
But true.
Yeah, I mean,
that is true.
Of course, they're a Super Bowl caliber team. Now, if I sit here today after what I watched last night, and try to visualize this team beating Josh Allen.
I mean, that's...
Holy hell.
How many teams can make that statement this morning?
But we got to go through the journey. Like, is Josh Allen going to get to January?
What if he plays Kansas City?
One of those two teams isn't going to get there.
Yeah, one of them kills each
And who knows the way it's all going to go. But if you just look at the NFC, see if you can get to six teams that you think are good. Do it.
I mean, Philadelphia's Tampa.
Tampa's good. Philly's
Green
good.
Bay.
Green Bay is still good.
I believe the Rams.
The Rams are good.
Okay.
Right. Oh,
Philadelphia's four.
Look at you.
Philadelphia's four.
I already said Eagles. Okay. Eagles, Packers, okay, Bucks, Rams.
Eagles, and the Philadelphia Eagles.
No,
the 49ers in there as the 15.
Oh, you already knocking out the Vikings?
Well, no. But see,
but this is...
Because last week people were saying the Vikings are super...
But even if you want it... Well, the Vikings are fine as long as they play at 10 a.m. on Sunday,
exactly,
they're fine.
Exactly. But the only other team that I would throw under the mix as a question mark, and people are going to laugh when I say this, I still feel I don't have a good idea of who Arizona is. So I know.
I'm sorry.
But I don't know who they are.
But see, this is what I mean.
I'm with you.
There's going to be at least one playoff team where you're like,
they don't belong.
I know.
So
and if you get the right matchup,
should
you can
beat the 49ers with Garoppolo be in the playoffs? Wow,
of course.
And they should advance out of the first week at minimum.
Well, maybe.
Like,
what team's showing up? I mean, they're losing a running back. But I agree with
overall,
depends on if they win the division or if they're a wild card. I get
GDP out. I mean,
3-6.
It's how long until we get Debo Samuel back running the ball? I mean, come on.
So we're already doing it.
We're in the first quarter in Chicago.
Exactly.
Jesus.
I mean, he had to shake two different defenders in the backfield on the 51-yard play.
And I heard your return of the Mac earlier, and I guess return of the Mac is where we are now, right?
The Jordan Mason takeover is still on
track.
Did
you acquire him in fantasy?
Oh, like a week and a half ago.
He's been on my bench for 2 weeks.
Oh, gosh. That was before the injuries even started happening. I'm like, we know where this is going.
What about a little
more? Undrafted rookie.
Right.
Your undrafted rookie who plays special teams is going to be the 49er running back at some point. It is every year.
Well, for how long? And you give him 4 weeks?
Until he gets hurt.
Exactly. Week 7.
Then we'll cycle back to the other guy.
Good Lord.
Yes, that works.
I mean, and that to me is a greater question. And I guess you can't like look at the strength and conditioning team and the fitness team, but why do they have so many guys who get hurt?
Well,
right?
But
I heard you earlier talking about that.
The running back position. I mean, this is not that the conversation needs to go here, but if you want to know why people are starting to draft wide receivers in the first round.
Well, they have longevity.
Because your running backs make you want to yourself.
I know.
I mean, Christian McCaffrey, whatever.
Think about this year. Devontae and Tyreek Hill were on their third contract, okay? We all looking like, boy, they've got 5 good years left. Zeke is still on his second contract, and you're like, I don't know if he's got 5 minutes left.
So we can criticize the 49ers and say why you're getting hurt. I'm going to look at it a completely different way and say, thank you, 49ers, for not paying any of these guys. Because those are the teams that get in trouble. You pay McCaffrey, you want to pay Zeke,
they've done a good job drafting guys like Joe Williams and Trey Sermon. So
has not been great. They found people sitting there after the 7th round who they've turned into actual players.
They're not using 3rd round capital on guys who can't play.
Serious question.
That's fair.
When is that going to catch up to this regime? Because Balky was striking out in
draft. Which part?
Failing on high leverage picks, first round picks, round picks, third round picks.
Not yet.
Is it going to catch up to it soon?
I don't know. If they keep finding stars in the 5th and 6th round,
And if they keep winning, the answer is no. But I'm totally with you, B, because now that you don't have first round capital and the guy you drafted, spent all that first round capital to draft him.
That's a good thing. Now it's like, we keep missing on these. Let's just trade him.
I mean, he's trying to be like Sean McVay, I guess, where you don't care about first round picks. You know,
they've done a great job identified, but they've also used their capital on proven studs, like making the Jalen trade was 2 firsts to go at him, bringing in Stafford for multiple firsts, but they have found Cooper Kupp late, and they find all of these linemen late. Here's the thing, too, with Belichick, this is what's done him in. Missing in the draft has made his cupboard completely empty, and you look at the Patriots right now, and you're like, they've got no players.
No cupboard.
Like, no players.
No pantry.
And it hasn't caught up to the Niners because they find Hufanga in the 5th. Right? I mean, like, that offsets Hufanga? A lot of things. Right? How many DBs have they drafted 4th round or later? Okello comes to mind, Ombre, D'Amonor, Lenore, but you find one in Hufanga, it makes everything go
Hufanga
away.
Hufanga?
I think it's Hufanga.
Am I saying it wrong? My bad.
Yeah. And the voice has to crack on the Hufanga? Hufanga? I mean, it's just my incredible. Bad.
I hear people say it both ways.
We love the GP2. My fault.
I need to go to the press box and get one of those phonetic spelling. You know how they got the whole chart with the roster? Hufanga or Hufanga?
It's heavy on the fung. Yeah, exactly.
Until he gets his extension, he's probably not going to say anything. He'll let you call him whatever he wants.
Head and shoulders should be on line one for a video, like a commercial, immediately for him, right?
I need him and Troy Polamalu like massaging 100%. Each other's hair, like from the movie Ghost, where they were doing the pottery. Just a little hair wash. What's wrong with that?
Ghost is a classic.
A little mutual hair wash? Come on.
What's your impression of Shanahan?
We're going to get into this today.
The word today, Bonte, is arrogance.
Okay. Which is obvious. Like, that's obviously true. There's not like when someone's asking you questions.
Is it arrogance? Hufanga?
Very good.
I'm not sure.
Like, not just because a lot of people I know didn't get to hear this. You hear the post-game press conference, but not a lot of fans necessarily hear a conference call. And I know you guys probably did some of the audio. We will too.
I listened to Damon, and they were playing some of it.
Yeah. So Kyle and my read on it, and doesn't necessarily matter how we get here, but I think Kyle was emotionally offended.
Defensive?
Because the accusation that you hurt your player to a coach, I would think is that's pretty hard to hear. And I don't think he expected it either. Like, football coaches are a different animal, okay? These people don't go home. They sleep in cots in offices. Mm-hmm. They're so wired. And Shanahan then, doesn't look like he's getting a lot of sleep either.
John Gruden gets up at 3:04.
Right, so what's
send
that?
Emails.
He also goes to church, too.
That's a four.
He also goes to church.
Send him in the middle of the night.
He also goes to church, too. No, but he's been married for, what, 31 years?
He hit the buffet so hard in recent years. So, no one wanted to admit it.
So the point there is, though, that I don't think those guys, I don't think they're always in touch with what's going on outside of their office.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Shanahan thought, he's not on Twitter during the game. We all knew. I don't think he knew when he got to the post-game podium that people were going to be like, dude, you hurt Trey. I don't think he thought that was coming. And so he was caught off guard, and he got very defensive. And now he's talking about, like, I need to teach all of you about football. But listen, we've been doing this in the Bay Area for how many? This is what Gabe Kapler does.
Right. And it kind of puts people off.
But it does. It's very simple. If it's working, we're fine with it. If it's not, so this is where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Like, if they lose this year, it's not going to come off sounding great. If you win, I think people are like, it's okay. Like, you can be arrogant because you're right. He does know more football than us.
No, he's right.
Of course, he does.
Buffalo runs like the Niners do. At one time. Josh Allen ran it one time.
And Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Run them on outside zones.
And a lot of inside.
But they spread
one
it
time.
Out. Three one linebackers at the goal line. Head in there. Get me in the end zone.
I don't want to
adjudicate running the rest of the year. It's just nauseating already. Like, I know it's an element.
He's not wrong. And I was listening to Baldy talk to you guys this morning, and he said the play that Trey ran is run by every single team.
That was the nuance.
Every single team that has an athletic quarterback. I heard him say it to you. He goes, it's a bread and butter play.
Hey, listen.
It's a bread and butter play.
But listen, can I just sign up for the seminar where Shanahan educates us? I want to be in that room.
Me too.
I want to be in that room. Yeah. Educate me on.
But why do you want to be in there? You want to be there to laugh or do you want to be there to learn?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Seriously. I coached high school football for 1 year, and I was not a great coach at all. But totally. I did go to coaching clinics, and it looked fascinating the way they break it down. I don't know anything about football. I would love to go to a seminar Shanahan.
So let me ask you this question. I had someone pose this one to me, and
he's laughing. I want to go. Educate me on football.
No, I'm with you. There's so much there. Like, well, let's admit, there's 1,000 things going on. On those play calls and those fields, we have no clue.
Designed the play and installed it, could watch the film and screaming. Jordan Watkins was talking about this at Stanford. The two coaches that designed the play are screaming at each other on whose responsibility is what, and they're the ones who created it together. Right. And yet they can't even come to agreement on what a guy should do on it. So it's all up for interpretation. Yeah. I want to ask you this one because you're talking about being insular and out of it when you're a head coach, and I agree. But on some level, and someone brought this to me, and I'll ask you guys this question. Let's say it's Trevor Lawrence and it's Urban Meyer last year. I'm hypothetical. I'm just picking two people.
Hypotheticals.
Would the uproar not been through the roof on again, no matter how it happened, people would have been like, you are Trevor Lawrence. And so for the head coach to not realize that people were going to talk to him about his injured quarterback feels a little like, come on, read the room a little.
I actually don't agree with that.
Why?
Because I just don't think that most people look at football and blame the coach when someone gets hurt. We've had actually very few of those scenarios ever in the history of the game.
RG3, it's pretty prominent.
It's interesting because he also wasn't the head coach there, too. Like,
I know, but it's him and his dad.
I know, but this is one thing that we have done to Kyle through his career. Like, you're the head coach, you're to blame. But
that I agree with.
Not with the Atlanta Falcons.
I agree with
now
that.
Kyle Shanahan's to blame in the Super Bowl, and he's a choke artist. It's like, so we do that, but there are very few. I'll grant you RG3 became a career arc discussion.
Andrew Luck. But, I mean, we look at the Colts and we're like, you set the kid up for failure. I'm not saying we're there.
I don't feel like we heard that very much about Andrew Luck.
Are you serious?
I just think they didn't have a very good offensive line.
I always thought that the GM just did a terrible job keeping him upright.
Russell Wilson said this for years in Seattle.
For sure.
He was yelling about the offensive line.
David Carr, we can look
at.
They
traded a lineman for a tight end.
Right, so we can do that, but I think that's a very quick A to B than to say you hurt your quarterback because, like, you drafted offensive linemen who you thought were going to be good and they're not. You just brought up Belichick.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned about football is obviously drafting
is hard.
It was super
hard. It is really hard to look at someone and go, I think you're going to be good. And and the best in the world are often wrong.
Yeah.
And so we have to, when it doesn't mean we can't criticize when you draft the wrong guy, but it does mean you need to factor the factual math into your equation and know that every team, every draft is going to get at least some of those players wrong.
Yeah, but I think also when you couple it with the amount, it's like when you buy a house, all right, and it's a lemon and it needs a full remodel.
Oh boy.
It's one thing if you bought too that soon. House in the marina. It's another thing if you bought that house, you know, in the middle of Nebraska, for example, right? And they both cost the exact same price.
Luckily, nobody here can ever afford a house again exactly. in this city, so it's okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there is an element of, you know, this is what it costs issues. To go get the kid. And so I'm just totally. Asking these questions totally. Out loud.
And that's fair. I'm not saying that draft assessments by the fan base are no longer on the table. Of course they are. Yeah. But it's hard for me when you have a regime, and whether it's the fifth round, the third round, whatever, they've got plenty of hits.
They
have plenty of hits and plenty of misses.
But this
and
is a the lot big of people one.
Only, yeah, this is the big one.
Absolutely.
When you trade up absolutely. To get your franchise this QB, is this is everything. And I made the comparison to James Wiseman. The Warriors with James Wiseman, if he turns out to be a miss, it's not a big deal because you have Steph, Clay, yes. Draymond, and you've got championships.
Wiggy.
And Jordan Poole.
Exactly. All the rest of it. So right. if Wiseman turns out to be a quote-unquote bust, it's forgivable because you still won championships. This is the most important position in the most important team in the most important spot in the history.
Maybe.
Since, you know,
you're right.
Since Steve Young.
You're right, but I would have agreed with you more at every step leading up to this moment. There's now about 12 ways this can go.
Oh, well, no doubt.
Now there's suddenly 12 ways this can go.
10 of those ways are south.
But Mark, do you give a 49er agreed. Fan, like, because I know the slightly older fan, if you're in your 30s or 40s, you're like, dude, we already had a coach and a quarterback fight it out.
Super triggered by you saying that 30s and 40s
seriously,
is sort of
sorry. Old. You watch
that's
your mouth.
Super triggered.
Well, I mean, anyway, I'm in that demo.
I got three kids and a bunch of problems.
Here looking at but, you like, what the hell did you just say?
He'll be 40 in November.
When
don't
I think
worry.
Alex he's, Smith, when I think
he looks
of
a
Alex
lot older
Smith,
than a lot of us.
Mike Nolan, like, Mike Nolan was done in with the Alex Smith thing. And it wasn't just the injury. It's the handling of the injury. It's the tone in the press conference. Nobody can remember. A guy belly flopped on Alex. Then the coach questioned his toughness. And then he said, you need to get back in there. He went back out there and ended up wrecking his shoulder. And that did in Mike Nolan, right? So I think a lot of 49er fans, if you just go a little past the Jim Harbaugh stuff, because Cap and Alex is obviously still there. A lot of people are triggered with quarterbacks and injury on a young quarterback because we look back at Alex like, ah, they wrecked him in every single
it's
way.
It's triggering because during Kyle Shanahan's entire tenure, we've heard the name Kirk Cousins. Then we watch a game like last night. We're like, damn, he loves Kirk Cousins.
Okay,
why
so
is that? But then there, hold on. Right,
go ahead.
But then it's the flirtation of Brady. It's the flirtation of Stafford. It's missing and not drafting a quarterback in your first ever draft. And I know what Watson's gone through now. We didn't know that then. We didn't know that about Mahomes either.
Mahomes is overrated.
Mahomes is a wild card. He's a wild card. Nobody's got him.
So like, good.
When you miss
I hate him.
And you
so
pivot
good.
That same year, that's
pan.
What's triggering so is that Shanahan
there's no question.
Hasn't figured out who his guy is
no
at the quarterback spot.
There's no question.
And how many coaches get that leash?
Well,
I mean, it's 6 years now, and we're going to go into year seven not knowing who the quarterback of the 49ers is.
And the flip side is I can give you a few franchises who haven't figured this out since I've been
no
born.
No doubt.
Okay,
the
so
Jets,
like
the Jets keep coming off the Bears.
But they fire coaches.
But
they fire the coaches, though.
And we all like, agree that's dysfunctional.
Yeah, we're not
right?
going to fire Shanahan.
Right,
but 6 years of Shanahan,
I know,
and
but
we still don't know who the quarterback
he's got
is.
Two conference championship berths
right.
and a
that's
Super Bowl berth.
So they're winning.
So that's the cognitive dissonance
there it is,
right there.
There it is.
Wow.
Like, if you can't figure out.
You're welcome.
If you cannot. If you can't figure out. The quarterback position, so and you close go 5-11 every year.
Cognizant dissonance. Continue, yeah. Mark.
No,
sorry.
If you go 5-11 every year when you can't figure out the quarterback position,
right.
yeah, you're going to lose your
exactly.
job.
Exactly.
If you go 11-5 while you can't figure
yeah,
it
Jeff
out.
Jeff Fisher.
I so mean, we see championships, know. But we look at those NFC championships and Super Bowl, and everybody will say, well, the defense led them the way. It wasn't the quarterback.
But you got there.
It wasn't the play calling.
It's a results
the
game.
The play calling may have done you in for the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship.
If I'm, playing golf, if I'm playing golf and it's a par four and I come off the tee and I hit a ground ball
yes.
and it goes 230 down the middle,
it's still
it's
a par.
It's still 230 yeah.
yes.
down the middle.
I hear
middle.
You.
And
I
that's
hear
kinda
you.
What, and that's why it's cognitive dissonance because we see Jimmy G and we know that he's not very good, but then you wake up and it's like, oh, 11-5 and oh, they're in the NFC Championship game again.
Your vocabulary has reached
he's
new heights while you when yeah. you went and had this big. What was that word you used on Twitter the other day?
That was Pyrrhic victory.
Oh, ooh. A Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah, yeah. When the cost of the win is more expansive, it hurts you more than like the victory that. Is. Yeah.
Wow. Dibs on the girl and decided he's going to become Bryant Gumbel here in the second half of his career.
Who hates sports talk radio.
Completely.
But we'll talk about that in a second.
Sports hates him.
Bonte, I don't know if you know this, but everyone wants to have a mulligan in golf. True story. My dad, eighth hole, Northwood, blades one, boom, down into the street, goes, I'm going to tee up another one.
Eighth hole.
That's a par three.
A little short par three.
I love that.
So with Grandpa, he just bladed one. This is a couple years back. And then, boom, dunks it in. Grandpa, without hesitation, that's a hell of a par.
Yeah. He hit an ace on his second shot.
Yes.
That is a hell of a par.
Nice gutsy par.
And to your point, it's a par.
And on the scorecard, it's a three.
It's a three.
Especially playing with the PGA Tour's rules enforcer, Grandpa.
And that's why
Grandpa's hard.
Why I'm saying that there's 12 ways this could go.
It's so true.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
It's so true.
Don't know what Jimmy's going to do this year.
I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to go 14 of 23, and they're going to go 11-5, and we're all going to pull up. Well, you guys will pull your hair out. Maybe Mark will. I got nothing to pull,
The Warriors coming back will help me out. I'll be able to sleep at night. We got the champs coming back.
Warriors,
but like,
Bonte, ring that. I'm getting sized up.
But that check from NBC is going to be hitting the bank account soon.
And your boy can recover
from that Europe trip. Where do you put your ring?
We're going to Europe.
Do the Warriors have championship aspirations?
100%.
Okay.
Is
it championship or bust?
I mean,
it kind of is for the Warriors.
No.
Is Steve Kerr arrogant or is he just a winner?
Oh, he's not arrogant.
We'll get into it.
He's not arrogant. Shanahan.
Wow, that's a good question because I know at times some people are put off by Steve Kerr.
See, I believe that Yeah, you assess arrogance sometimes by whether or not you like the team. I know a lot of people who are not Warrior fans think Steve Kerr is the most smug human being.
What is he doing?
And I'm looking at Steve Kerr going, this is like the nicest human on the planet.
I'm with you on
what
that.
What are you talking about? But that's how it's because of politics.
Oh my God. When we went to Boston, every single conversation, we just want to say on the front end, we love the politics of your head coach. I'm like, what? Like every sports conversation on air with everyone there started with politics.
Where was this?
Boston.
Oh.
It was insane.
Well, I mean, you know.
Boston. They're very smart. They'll let you know. They're smarter than
arrogance,
you.
Arrogance, the word of the day with Will and Dibs.
Smart.
Good to have you back, Dibs.
Maka smart.
Daddy
so
Dibs.
So good to be back. Up,
Dad.
Up four times last night. So great.
I don't miss those
days. Watch Estrada?
Oh. I watched it on video at 142 while I was swaddling.
Sorry, baseball.
Oh, we did say we were going to give 60 seconds to Tyro today. 60 seconds.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm gone in 60 seconds.
And that was three of them, so there's 57 to go.
San Diego tourism authority, when you're happy you know it in San Diego, there's no limit to how you can show it. Endless sunshine, coastline, and outdoor adventures inspire ways to feel good vibes. Plan your trip today at sandiego.org.
Jimmy Garoppolo is one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.